Rastatz, good afternoon.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
How are you, man?
I hear laughing. People sending me, people, I don't know, call it monkey porn or what, but a picture of monkeys here trying to rape cats and all kind of things. So people, and that was in response to one caller's saying that, you know, the monkeys never do anything wrong, but people sending me pictures of monkeys doing all kind of things. Anyhow, continue.
I got three important subjects I would like to speak about. I mean, make them as short as possible, though.
Appreciate it.
And I hope that you will involve in the conversation. I know I want to talk about the monument in Holtown first. I think the date on that monument is wrong. And I hope that the people who are in authority would think it should be the 14th, May the 14th, 1625.
Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned that before, and said that the incorrect date is actually part of the history. I don't know what they meant by that, but someone in authority told me that. Go ahead.
No, it is wrong. Mm-hmm. That boat that came here wasn't even intended to come here. Mm-hmm. It was bad seamanship. That came from Brazil on the route to go to England, but it went off, mm-hmm. of course, and it landed here. And the date, if you check all the history books, the good history books, if you check good historians, you'll find that that date is wrong. And I'm calling on the authority because they have tour operators. When they give this date and they stop in Holtown, then they see another date, 1605, which is not correct. You have me on that?
I have you, yes.
So what is your conception about that?
No, I get you. I think it is something I've heard people on and off about, and if it's something that needs to be addressed, the historians would be in a better position than myself. But history should be recorded as correctly and as accurately as possible.
It is time because that only says 1605. It doesn't even get the 14th of May, mm-hmm. or the 14th or anything, or the 17th or anything.
One thing that always confuses me, like in terms of how people are so adamant about what happened at that time when it was actually, you know, we weren't there. There was no way really of accurately verifying what happened. But some people know these things, don't they? And that's not you in per se, because people were arguing me about the dates before in a different conversation. And it was like,
whoa. If you want to omit, you have to omit everything because history is history. And you get that.
I got you.
All right. The next thing I want to go on to, I talk about Liat. Mm-hmm. I hope you can help me in this here. Now, Liat was insolvent. And then it went to liquidation. I've called on this matter about two times already. David was the person we spoke to last time, but he is not here now. Mm-hmm. And they went into liquidation. Insolvent is telling me that your liability is greater than your assets, so you can't pay all your debts. You go from there into liquidation. When you go into liquidation, that is telling me, according to if I'm correct, it's telling me that you close your business or closing your business to collect your assets and selling your debts. I want to find out from you if Liat is still operating.
To the best of my knowledge, they are. Even if not in the airplane, as usual, I understand, they're still a going entity, as they would call it. But for me, really looking at the whole issue of Liat, it goes beyond that. This issue of Liat has been flying around here in the Caribbean for a very long time. And picking up something here, sorry. And I know that they were talking about the making the changes, and I understand it's going, but not as the Liat 1974 Limited as we know it. And all of that is part of the changing dynamics of not only Liat, but the world. A lot of the times you see that we will do something called restructuring a company or organization. There's the merging, there's the re-registering and all these different things.
Corey, mm-hmm. with all respect, I think I know bankruptcy pretty good, the subject. Mm-hmm. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're going into liquidation, mm-hmm. you stop at liquidation because if you had gone any further, mm-hmm. you would have to ask the court for a receiving order.
Right, it's going to receivership.
And the court would set up an official receiver.
Right.
So you didn't do that. Right. And then your business will be out of your business, all your business, your property, correct. Your mm-hmm. personal will be out of your hands. You understand?
Right. So turn them out to a shutdown completely.
You stop at liquidation.
Mm-hmm. You so understand? But what it is you are trying to get at directly or mainly, what's the core? You are saying that. Go ahead.
I want to know why you can go into liquidation and you come out mm-hmm. and the debt and you haven't sell your debts. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Because I heard talk, and I'm sure you heard the same talk about them coming back as something different, something new, something. You know, I call it the tricks of the trade.
I know nearly mm-hmm. every step about. But mm-hmm. bankruptcy, nearly yeah. every step.
I think I pick up where you going, where you coming from now. The more I listen, the more I understand. That's why I didn't want to ask that first, right?
I know nearly every step mm-hmm. of maybe 99.9%.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
I may have to give you an area code and a number, and I think that's where you'll get your real answers from. And I hope you're reading what you're telling
my
you.
My real answer, I would like the people like the Prime Minister to give more information on that matter, on this matter. I would like the Prime Minister to let, because people, mm-hmm. this is over a year that people haven't got, as far as I understood, what they expect to get, people who are working
mm-hmm.
for the act.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that this is fair. I don't believe it is fair. Believe is a conception, so I have to use sometimes, I don't believe it is fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like Ms.
But there's a lot.
Prime Minister?
There's a lot going on, and I don't think it's fair to put it on me or put it only on the Prime mm-hmm. Minister. There's a lot going on with Liat from the very top that have not been discussed. I happen to know some privileged information only because it was involved in. I can try to be delicate and sensitive here, in looking at ways of helping out some of the persons who, like that you are talking about, who are at a disadvantage because of what you're talking about. People who would not have worked for a very long time and need assistance. So I know certain things, but I don't think it is for myself or even to an extent. I think the board of LIAT and other major players at the top is who really need to sit down and have that hard conversation with the Caribbean. We gotta be careful on who we ask to speak on that issue of LIAT. And I know listening to you, I know that you know what it is I am saying. So I hope you don't get on this ear and pretend you don't know what I am trying to say.
Corey, I am not blaming the Prime Minister. All I am asking for more information on the
understand.
Matter.
But who you want that information from? Who should that information come from?
From the people who are in authority.
Mm-hmm.
It can only come from those who are in authority. Not people getting up on the air all every time and saying they have been waiting for a whole year and haven't got any support from those people who they've been working for. The mm-hmm. shareholders should look. I know the steps, and I understand why they haven't. As far as my conception, I believe I understand why they haven't gone any further. Anyhow, I thank you, Corey.
I thank you too. Very ticklish conversation and things like for me, I like to come out in the open, but sometimes things are sensitive, and sometimes the people who are being paid to have the responsibility, the one that need to come to the microphone and have these discussions and not have half speculations bandied about, because sometimes I believe it makes the matter worse. Brastats, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello? Yes, please. Actually, I'm calling about the situation in relation to the monkeys. I heard a comment this morning to the effect where that the industry has not put forward enough solution.
All right, before we go any further, I think it'd be important if you want to identify yourself, because you're not average Joe.
Okay, my name is James Paul, CEO mm-hmm. of the BAS.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say that, in truth and in fact, farmers have been using different methods to try to control the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I think the crux for the nation to think of is, are they willing to listen to the recommendation of the farmers and mm-hmm. do something about it?
Right.
I really agree that I heard the chief agricultural officer this morning really indicated that they're going to start for initiative. I think the sooner something like that starts, the better. But mm-hmm. what is important is that we have to accept that we cannot allow the current population to continue increasing at the rate that it is. And that farmers have to be given support in terms of doing something about it. We just cannot rely on talk, but we must have action being taken immediately. It is a frustrating episode where you have people growing crops and it cannot be harvested.
Do you have any specific, from your memory, some of the things that would have been suggested, particularly any that weren't discussed today, that I can add to my list?
I can't think of any that was I heard this morning that was not discussed. But, of course, you know, the fact of the matter is that the most prominent one that we use is culling. That's what it is, for what it is. And I would tell you, farmers are thinking, yes, that we cannot destroy them completely. But certainly they have used their methods in terms of trying to control the numbers, but they do need additional help in terms of doing it. And I really want, and we have promoted the fact that we need to sometimes increase the bounty, even if it is done on a seasonal basis. It's the same principle that is adopted in England in terms of wildlife, where they recognize that in order to control the numbers, sometimes you have to take extreme measures to keep them down. And I want to add something else. I'm completely very disappointed when I hear the attitude being demonstrated by callers who are kind of representative of sometimes the attitude of the Barbadian public to this thing. This is not something that we want to make sport at. It is something which has a very important consequences for livelihoods, because if we are serious about food security in this country, where we're asking Barbadians to feed themselves. I also heard a supermarket operator just about a month or 2 months ago indicate that the farmers are not doing enough to produce fruit crops. But how do you reconcile that with the sometimes almost indifferent attitude demonstrated by some Barbadians and even those in official circles when they are going to say to us, yes, that is all well and fine, but on the other hand, when it comes to spending some money where it counts, where it will make a difference, they refuse to. All due respect to the chief agricultural officer, I heard you talk about the question of having this, study done. We don't have any need for a study. Simple and plain. What we need is that we need resources to be committed to reducing the population of monkeys in this country. The farmers have their own method, and they're asking for support in it.
Allow me to push back a bit on that, Mr. Paul. But before I do, in terms of the farmers, because I am not on the ground with farmers every day, so I want to ask you this. Are you finding that the monkey complaints are still coming at the same rate from farmers? And the reason I ask is that all the farmers that called today actually called to say that their methods have been working. All the farmers that message me have been telling me that one thing or the other have been working. The complaints seem to be rising out of the residential communities where people are planting a little more or just don't want the monkeys hubbugging their livelihood. So to me, the question is, are we still seeing the same level of complaints coming from those in the farming community, or have they adopted methodologies that seem to be working?
I would say some have adopted methodologies that might be working. But the other issue that we have not faced is that they have decided on a group of crops, very narrow range of crops, which are being planted, which does not attract the type of attention from the monkeys that other crops would really. So, for instance, we should be doing more herbs and fruit crops.
Because herbs are herbs.
Herbs,
right. That's
right. And fruit crops, okay? That really should be doing more of what we are not doing because of the fact that these are the things that are being pulled up by the monkeys when chai are being pulled up when they are planted. So there's a certain hesitancy on the part of the farming community to plant those crops. And in a sense, so one of the things we need to ask ourselves is the extent to which there are people now, and we are talking about the fact that we have seen a lot of areas that previously was planted not being planted anymore. Why do you think that is happening? It's because there's a level of frustration.
Right. People talk about predial larceny and the monkeys. Two of those things seem to be perennial problems when we talk about agriculture. But what I wanted to push back on is the study. As I said, and there's a big debate happening right in front of me on my online chat, about study or no study. You need a study account. Then blah, you ain't need a study. Just kill them. The reason I supported the study, now usually I don't, because it's just a way, a port barrel politics, somebody gets some money, right? But if you're that's looking right. at biodiversity, right, and you're looking at creating a balance, and you know I need to kill half. How you need to know how much is the whole, so you will know what is half. And that is why we could go on John Martin's number and say, look, let me take it for granted, John Martin in the field doing this every day. We take his number, 60,000. We need to cull, capture, export, whatever, 30,000. But outside of that, I think you will need to know what you're working with so that you can come up with a strategy to treat to it. What do you say about that?
I would say, though, I look at the priorities first. To take up $200,000, as was suggested, or whatever amount, to put on a study, rent and truth, and in fact, the resources are needed much more immediately to address the measures that need to be put in place in order to control the population seems, to my mind, a misplaced use of resources.
But in a case like that, you won't see it as an investment as opposed to an expense, because you say how disruptive it is. If it is that disruptive, $200,000 would really be a drop in the bucket in terms of saving millions of dollars in food substitution, food security, etc.
No, but hold on. What I'm saying is that we will be getting food as a result of putting that resource, which should be put, which is controlling that monkey population.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be increasing production.
All right. What about walking a chewing gum? We put some resources to it, but we also look at the base, finding the baseline. What about doing both, walking a chewing gum?
You know, I would just say this too. That I don't think that we need to put. We don't need to have the study in order to determine where we need to go. And that is what I'm saying. It's just a question of allocating the resources where it can have the most visible impact and the most meaningful impact at the moment. And I'm saying that as a matter of priority, we are saying food security is important.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent are we treating it as being important when the very money that can be used to help to give credence to that, we are taking it and putting it into somewhere else where, for instance, you can't see the impact that it's having on food security.
But the impact will come. Right, let me ask you this question, Mr. Paul, let me this last one. Allow me to push back one more time. Now, what is the monkey population in Barbados? And to what extent do we need to work on it? What is the extent? How much? How many monkeys do we have? What is the population?
You know, we heard this morning 15,000. John Mark said this morning, you know, multiplied
by. No, I don't ask you what people say, you know. I ask you what is the population.
I have to go on the official statistics, which is 15,000. But the point I am making is this, that even if you work on that, there needs to be some kind of process by which we say, first of all, let us deal with what is important. What is important right now is increasing food production. What is important right now is giving our farmers the assurance that if they plant, that they can reap. This will generate the level of investment actually that is needed to even do some of the things that you are suggesting. Because what we are assuming is that in other industries, that they don't mobilize the resources themselves, even do the type of study that you are talking about. This can be done. But how do you do it in an industry which is constantly, you're putting in really a position where it cannot generate those resources? And that is what we are doing.
But that's the point you say that you're making, but the point you went on to actually make is that if the official statistics saying 15,000, but there's a possibility of 60,000, so if you put mechanisms in place to address the 15,000, you may be doing nothing.
But you know what? At least you will be doing something that wasn't done before, which is that let us at least come face to face with the fact that we need to do something, and we need to do it now. And we need to put it in place and stop talking around it.
Correct. I don't agree with you on that. I don't want it. No one need any more talk. The action.
No. Action we want.
Action.
Right now.
Action. Jackson Sissel.
But only that, and we are not prepared to wait on a study to be completed before we determine what action is required.
Right.
We know what action is required now.
Short, medium, and long. You could do the birth control, you do the culling, you do the capture, you do the study, you do everything. I think you gotta throw everything at this monkey thing. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you very much to Mr. Paul from the Barbados Agricultural Society. Brass Stats, good afternoon. Let me apologize to my WhatsAppers. The WhatsApp was taken over. It just gone out of thing. I give up. Okay, my WhatsApp is telling me don't give up, so I can try to just run through some quickly. Well, the callers earlier was talking about God help us in this time, and I mean God is there at all times. People that don't believe or lean on God sometimes when things get real rough and real tough. I ask myself how they manage, you know. That's one. Someone told me they went to the number with the vaccine and they realized that the farm is closed. So I got to get some answers on that. Someone is asking about the care package, said up to now. Some by them, they have not gotten it. They understand some people have gotten two. So we try to get update on that. Some people are asking about the reverse checks when they're coming. Some people are appalled that a former government minister would attack a scientific approach. Someone else saying that what did Mr. Paul do when he was minister of the area? And I have to remind people, Mr. James Paul is not the minister responsible for agriculture anytime that I know about. Some people saying don't kill half, don't kill quarter, kill all monkeys and call it a day. Just to give you some of the reactions here on a very small sample of the WhatsApps coming into the studio. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you. All right. I just called to inform that the Barbados Licensing Authority is now open to the public.
Who's this we're speaking with?
You're speaking to Mr. Knight.
Oh dear. Welcome, sir. You can't come and sneak in here, man. We gotta let me roll out the red carpet. Mr. Virgil Knight, Chief Licensing Officer.
How are you doing, Corey?
Hi, good, man. Good. Welcome. Well, you can't come and sneak through the back door, sir. We here really need you. Go ahead, sir. I give you the time. Go ahead.
No, we open to the public on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We are offering all the services. Examination, the weighing of vehicles, regulation test, and driving test. And obviously, you will have to do the payment with the Barbados Revenue Authority. Mm-hmm. And I think they mentioned the offices that are open, which are Oyston, Bridge Street, and Whole Town. Mm-hmm. So once you have these receipts, you can just come and conduct the necessary services with the organization.
Listen, you just answer a million questions in 1 minute. It's so many questions. Now, are you familiar what's happening with the driving lessons? They are allowed to restart as well? Or that's a COVID monitoring unit?
I honestly can't speak to that because I think that there is a directive number 5 which is out, and I guess we all have to try to comply with the directive. I can't speak to whether they are allowed to operate or not. I can't speak to that. So.
Right. I don't think I would need to go through the individual WhatsApps then because many people were asking about just what you said in 1 minute. What about the registering of hired vehicles, commercial vehicles, weighing, all these different things. And as you said, the Barbados Licensing Authority is open for business. Full stop.
Yes, we are.
All right, so let me thank you. I thought we would need you for half an hour, but just by saying that, by saying that alone, you answer hundreds of emails we got within that little 20-minute window. So thank you very much. All right, so good. We will keep in touch. Okay, Brastats, good afternoon. As Dennis would say, radio works. very thankful for that. And it's something I talked a lot about. We're using a program like this, mass media, to really get the message across. And that's why I said very happy to be part of the program. And it does these things that you can actually get the answers from the persons in the know and arrest a lot of anxiety by the WSA. So good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey, you're welcome.
Corey, how are you doing?
I am doing much better now. Much, much better. What about you?
Well, I wish I could say the same, but I'm sorry I didn't get him before Mr. Knight, but I don't think he's the chief licensing officer. He's not involved in BRAR, right?
No. But ask the question and we see if we have the answer.
Yeah, I have two questions, actually. One is for BRAR, and then I will tell you the other one. Mm-hmm. The one regards to BRAR, when you go online, because I'm an online person, they send you a payment advice. Right. Which means that you still have to go to the revenue authority to pay. Is there any option that you can actually pay straight from a debit card or a credit card? Are there?
Yes, I have
because
paid.
I was not seeing that option online.
I actually was looking for the the website. But if you search Pay eBusiness or ePay or EasyPay or something, because I've paid for police certificate, a character, I've paid for license, I've paid for all type of things online. You can go to SurePay, you go to SurePay online, you can go in the line, or you can pay online. So all those things are very possible.
Okay, this is where the EasyPay platform, because yes, when I was logging into the Thomas one, all they were sending you was the payment advice. I didn't see the option to do it directly from there. So you're saying it's another app altogether that I have to look at? Okay, so that is one question that was answered. I hope that I'll be successful in starting that. The next question that I wanted answered was with regards to CXC and the teaching, teaching in general. I hear everybody talking about the Barbados Union of Teachers, talking about the teachers being affected and stuff. I have children that have to do online. They're in front of the computer. Yes, it's not the whole day. Sometimes 5 hours, maybe lunchtime break in there. Sometimes another break, you understand? By the end of the day, when my daughter in particular comes off the computer at school, at the end of the school day, which should be around 2:30, she also has to do a lot of work when working at SBAs that will actually, is actually take her all into the night, sometimes all up to 10 o'clock and beyond. So at the end of the day, people are talking about the effects on teachers, but it's also the effects on the children, because since this COVID situation, I've had to take her to ophthalmologist, and she had to be prescribed glasses.
That's the fear of my daughter's
was acting up, and I have the blue gear, the blue glare, the blue screen, and you know, the computer anti-glare and all of that. So when teachers are talking, I understand their plight, but at the same time, the children are already suffering also in terms of the time in, because as I said, when she has to leave class at 2:30, and then even if she take a nap for an hour or two, and then has to be back on with 7 or 8 SBAs, and it's very hard. But that's the crux of my question. Right now, I have a situation at her school where I have spoken to the principal, I've spoken to the year head, I've spoken to the class teacher, the subject teacher, what have you, and I'm getting the same response. And the response is in relation to this question. She was not added to one of her subject matters, which she has already submitted the SBA for, et cetera. And I'm being told all the time, oh, CXC portal is closed. So I would like to hear from somebody in CXC if when they're going to open the portal so that these amendments to the subject areas that these children are going to take the exams with the day upcoming will be available. Because I'm just getting the explanation from the school, the CXC portal closed. No changes can be made on up to now.
This is something that I'm going to look to do something on, because as one who advocated for advancement in technology, in all things, you still need moderation. The other issue you mentioned, the CXC, actually remind me how hectic today was, because two of the things I wanted to put in my opening had to do with Barbados' favorite uncle, and also had to do with the CXC situation, period. Not just we talking about, period. This whole man is about where are we going into the same problems that were created last year, along with the things that you mentioned. But as you know, time flies when you're having fun. It's 3 minutes to two. Then no one turns in this brass. I got an answer for you too from BRA too. So let me read this. Pump your brakes, pump your brakes. They say you can pay online in Tamis. You don't have to leave the website. On the same payment page, there's a button that says Easy Pay. Just click on that, enter your debit or credit card number, and the payment is applied immediately.
Directly. Well, that's great advice. I wish I could get the same from CXC, because as I mentioned, the date's upcoming. I'm hearing, and you have conflicts even in the timetable. Some subjects got two different dates, and I'm hearing, oh, the exam's in June or whatever, but my child do the SBA and name him on that list. I have been doing that subject all the time. The last thing I want to tell you about is actually a combined effort with the monkey problem. Because you can call monkeys, but if you don't know the number, some of them don't.
Correct. I agree. You got to know the number. That's what we're saying. You got to know the number. The only number that people seem to know is 434-1790. That's the number to reach us. 266-4862. That's where you say WhatsApp tomorrow and every day beyond today. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lea. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Dennis Johnson. And all those who contributed, no matter how you did it. I want to thank Chief Licensing Officer and Erica, of course, for coming to the fore and saving us answering these questions. This is what the forum is really about. You have the questions, and we here at Brass Stats, we have the answers, or we like to have them all the time. So thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. And this lane is now officially closed.